And so we're in this Jesus series, and where I'm going to get started today, we're not going to start with his birth, all right? Is that okay? We're in Luke chapter 2, but it's not where you think it is. It is not in the part you think it is. We're not going to talk about Jesus and mangers and all that stuff. Y'all have probably heard every message there is to hear every year at Christmas on Jesus' birth. So we're not going to cover that today. We're going to go a little bit further. I want you to turn Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and we're going to skip ahead a little bit. And we're going to break this down, but I'm going to read just a few verses here to get us started. We'll just read the whole thing. Verse 40, it says, "And the child, capital C child, that's Jesus. Jesus grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and in the grace of God was upon him." Strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and full of the grace of God. Ain't that the definition of a fulfilled life? "And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem." He was just a boy, he wasn't a man yet. "And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been among his relatives, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers." It's crazy. Jesus is so bad that when he asks questions, people think he's giving them answers. "And so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you done this to us?'" Listen to that. "Why have you done this?" You see how kind of personal she did? "See, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business?" I want you to look to the person on the left of you. I want you to say, "It's not personal, it's business." Woo! It's going to get crazy today. I want you to turn to the person on your right, and I want you to say, "It's not personal, it's business." "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? You think my daddy is Joseph, but you're wrong. I gotta be about my daddy's business. You think you know me, but you don't." But they did not understand the statement that he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Father, this morning, we commit that we want to be like you. We don't want to settle for any other goal, any other destination, but to be just like you. We want to know you. And Father, if that means that we got to put away personal things and be about business, that it is time to stop being tripped up in the personal things of life that keep us from running and doing your business, so be it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Here's Jesus. He's just a boy. And the Bible says that as a child, he grew strong in his spirit, filled with the wisdom of God, and full of his grace. That's not talking about Jesus as a man. That's not talking about Jesus as a teenager. That's talking about Jesus as a child. Anyone who thinks that our children can't be full of the power of the presence of God is crazy. If you think a children's role, that a child's role, that your child's role is just to sit down, be quiet, and listen, then you don't know what God thinks about children. See, I believe that children can be anointed. Children can lay their hands on sick and be healed. My children pray for each other when they're sick. They pray for us when we're sick. We just want to get some Tylenol. They say, what's wrong? Well, I don't feel good. Let me pray. I want our children to grow up in that. God's house, we want this house to be an atmosphere where children don't just get babysat. They learn who they are in Christ. They can lead worship at 7 years old. You believe it? Jesus was a child like that. And the Bible said that every year, his parents, but this is what's funny, right? Verse 43, it says, when they finished Passover, as they were returning back to Nazareth, the boy Jesus lingered behind Jerusalem. I want you to hear, and Joseph and his mother did not know. You notice that it doesn't say his father and his mother? Because whoever your father is who you're identified by. Jesus called Peter Simon Barjona, Simon son of Jonah. Whoever you were son to determined your destiny. If your daddy was a fisherman, you were going to be a fisherman. If you were like Jesus, your daddy, in the eyes of people, was a carpenter, you were always going to be a carpenter. Jesus, when he started his ministry, always had to fight this perception that he was Joseph's boy. They said, who is this man? Isn't he just a carpenter's son? So who does he think he is walking around calling himself rabbi, teaching and preaching the word of God? Who does he think he is revolutionizing? Who does he think he is healing the sick? Isn't this Joseph's boy? And Luke here draws a distinction. He says, yeah, Mary might have been his mama, but Joseph wasn't his daddy. Joseph and his mother did not know that he stayed behind. Jesus didn't even tell him he was dipping out. He just kind of, he was a boy, right? Not the most responsible thing for a boy to do in a city full of millions of people. Is that, can we, any parents in here? He stays behind. And his parents, thinking that he's with his relatives, go a day's journey walking towards Nazareth, back to Nazareth. And they didn't know it. And then about the second day, they kind of go, wait a sec, Joseph, have you seen Jesus? Has he been around? Man, I remember back in the day when I was growing up, my parents can attest to this, right? When you were a kid, we lived in a world back then when I grew up, when you could just get on your bike and you could just ride off, and we'd be like 7 or 8 years old and we're riding all the way, neighborhoods away to our friend's house, and then our parents would be like, just come back at dark, and then we'd be back home. But then in the middle, they were like, cool, man. I mean, we'd be halfway across Kahului. Right? One time, it was my birthday. My mom's laughing already. But it was my birthday. See, that's sad. I've had 37 birthdays. It's bad when you can say I had a birthday and your mom already starts laughing at you, because she knows what birthday you're talking about. It was my birthday, and we were having a birthday party that night at my grandmother's house. And my mom gave us explicit instructions. She said, I'm going to be home from work at 5. Do not go anywhere. Stay home. Take a bath. Do your homework. Because we're going to your grandma's house tonight. So my brother and I, we get home from school, right? And school got out at 2 o'clock. And we're like, well, mom's not going to be home for like 3 hours. We got time to go over to our friend Kimo's house and play video games before my mom gets back. And Kimo lived a good 8 blocks away. He lived by Kahului school side. So we get on our bikes, we ride down, to Kimo's house. We're playing back in the day. It was Super Nintendo. That was the new thing. It was awesome. 16-bit graphics. It was amazing. Mario's head wasn't a little square anymore with a mustache. He actually looked like he had a face. So we were at Kimo's house, and we were playing all afternoon. So it gets to like 4:30, and we're like, man, we better get home because we got to get home before my mom realizes that we're away, right? But we're in the middle of Super Mario. You just can't interrupt Super Mario in the middle of the level. You just can't do that. So we're like, oh, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. Let's play. 4:45 rolls around. We got to go. No. Just a little bit more. Just a little more. We got time. 4:50 rolls around. No, we got time. We're almost there. We're farther than we ever been. We can go. 4:55 rolls around. We're like, oh, my gosh. Just one more level. So we play, right? 5 o'clock rolls around. We panic. We panic like a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old should never panic. We gotta get on our bike. So we get on our bikes and we start rolling along. We pass by a college school. We're like, we just gotta make it before mom gets home. We gotta make it, right? And so we stop at the stoplight right there on Hina Avenue and Lono Avenue. Right there. You know what I'm talking about? And we're on the Kahului school side, passing over to the Papa side. And we're stopped there at the stoplight, right? And so we're looking at each other going, can we make it? And we look at Lono Avenue. And coming up Lono Avenue, the first car stopped at the red light is my mom's car. True story. Right? Look, my mom's not here. True story. She's sitting there. She doesn't say a word to us. We look and we're panicked now. We're like, oh, we in trouble. She looks and she goes. And the green light, she just drives on. Let me tell you, that was the slowest we ever rode our bikes in our lives. Right? The impending dread, right? But when you're kids, you just, back in the day, you would just ride, right? You just ride forever, right? Now, in all fairness, my parents were awesome parents. We got what was coming to us when we got home, and then she still let me have my birthday party. Praise God. Mercy triumphed over judgment. But you could go wherever you want. But in today's world, you can't do that, right? But back in the day, this is way back when. I'm talking 20 years ago. This is 2,000 years ago. So whole day he's gone. And finally, after 24 hours, his parents is like, maybe there's a problem. He hasn't come looking for food. 12-year-old boys, if they ain't come around for food in 24 hours, you got a problem. So they start looking at all the relatives. They say, well, is Jesus with you? Is Jesus with you? No, I thought he was with you. So they full out panic, right? So they turn around and go back. Now imagine losing your kid in Safeway. Now that's scary, right? Losing them in the mall. Imagine losing them in a city. So they spend 3 days, I want you to get this as a parent, 3 days in a city filled with millions of people, 3 or 4 million people, looking for your child, not knowing where he is. And finally, after 3 days, they go to the temple. And I have an assumption that after 3 days, they weren't going to the temple because they were still looking for him. They're going to the temple probably to pray, to find him. It's this funny thing that when you stop trying to strive and get things accomplished on your own, if you'll just turn to God first off, you may find exactly what you're looking for. They spent 3 days looking on their own, probably went to the temple and saying, in the last day, we need to go pray. We need to go talk to a priest. And there Jesus was sitting right there all along. And here's Jesus. He's 12 years old. He's not a man yet. He's 1 year from being a man. In the Jewish culture, he's 1 year from being 13. He's a boy, the boy. It goes on to point out the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. He was still a boy. And here he is sitting among the wise. So his family's looking for him because they think he's lost. He's confounding the rulers and the teachers of the law and confusing them with his wisdom. When you are after the things of God, when you are about God's business, when you make his business your business, and you make your entire life predicated of following him, there's two people you're always going to confuse: your family and the religious. Family won't understand you. The religious, they won't understand you either. Family's going to think you're lost. And they come to Jesus and they go, "Why did you do this to us? Don't you understand your father?" See, Mary thought Joseph was his daddy. "Your father and I have been looking for you." And Jesus says, "Why are you taking this so personal? This ain't personal. Didn't you know I was going to be about my father's business? My father's business. Not the carpentry in Nazareth, the temple in Jerusalem. You think I'm called to ordinary things, but I'm called to be supernatural. You think I'm supposed to be what you want me to be." And here Jesus is. He's sitting on the steps that 11 years later, or 21 years later, he would be standing at when he prophesies and says, "This temple in 3 days will be destroyed." Or, "This temple will be destroyed, but in 3 days it'll rise up again." Speaking about himself as the temple. Those same steps 21 years later. But here he is as a boy. And he already has an understanding. Something about standing there. He realizes, my destiny is right here. And you just want me to come home with you so I can keep being just like you and just like what you do and just like what you want me to be. But something about this place draws me. There's something that's different. There's something about it that says this is home for me. That place that you call home is not my home. This is home. This is where I'm called. This is what I'm called to be. This is who I am. See, you're going to be around people. You've probably lived around people your whole life. And their opinions of you, their beliefs about you. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's coworkers. What their view of you has framed who you are. And as long as you're just like them, everything is cool. But the minute you start following the things of God, and the minute you say, "I'm going to be about my father's business," that this life, this identity that has been crafted for me is not my own, that God has a destiny for me that is greater than the ordinary mediocrity I've been living, the circumstance I've been living, the situation, the lifestyle I've been living. And I'm not going to settle anymore. I have to be about my father's business. They're going to take it personal. The minute you say, "I can't hang out with you anymore, because as long as I hang out with you, I can't stop drinking and going out and partying at night, but I got to stop because I got to be about my father's business," they're going to take it personal. The minute you look at your family and say, "I know every 4th of July we get together, we crack open a beer and drink. I'm gonna come hang out with you, but I'm not gonna drink that beer, I'm just gonna drink a Coke," they're gonna look at you, they're gonna take it personal. "What, you too good now? Goody two shoes?" The minute you stop cursing when something goes wrong, they're gonna take it personal. The minute you start joking around some of that coarse jokes at work, your coworkers, they're going to take it personal. And they're going to come at you. And right in that moment, you got to figure out whether or not you're about your father's business. They're going to tell you you're crazy for the dreams you follow. You cannot ever hope to accomplish the destiny that God has given you as long as you make personal matters more important than God's business. And all of us have personal things going on. All of us are going through some of the things that are personal. It's here for a season and a time, but it's not to break you, it's to make you. And Jesus looks at Mary, his mother, and at Joseph, the man who raised him, and he said, right here today, I'm drawing a line. I was Joseph's boy until this day, but today, my daddy is the Lord God. And I'm going to be about his business from today going forward. But I want you to hear this. Here is a boy, strong in the spirit, full of wisdom, filled with the grace of God. That's who he was. Jesus at 12 was already a more mature believer, pretty much every single one of us in this room. And he looks at his parents and say, because I have a feeling, like any parents, yeah, Mary did, as a teenager, know that God was giving her a child, the Messiah. But when he's growing up, he's your boy. He's your boy. And there's a point when you see your husband raising that child as his own all of his life, sitting down, playing with the carpenter's tools as his dad is building furniture or whatever he was building, and you see him playing, that there's a part of Mary that goes, man, look at that. There's probably a part of Joseph that goes, man, I hope he carries on my trade. And here at 12 years old, Jesus had to look at them and go, I know you're my parents. I know there's a part of you that wants me to carry on this family's legacy, but this is not the name that I carry anymore. But listen to this. After this, he goes back with his parents. You know why? He had a glimpse of his destiny. He drew a line in the sand. And I have a feeling that when he went back, he wasn't the same and neither was his parents, but he went back. Sometimes the things that you're in is for a time and for a season. And although everything in you tells you you should bail because there's something greater inside of you, sometimes you got to stick with it a little bit longer. Because God is still forming you. He's still making you. So he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. She held on to it. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in the favor of God and men. Obedience unlocks favor. Jesus went back and was obedient to them, and in his obedience, the Bible says he increased. He was already full of the grace of God, full of wisdom, strong in the spirit, but he went back because although he was strong, see, some of us will be content to get strong enough, and we'll get to the place where we'll be just strong enough in the Lord, and then we'll come to church when the going is bad and we need strength and we need to grow, and then we'll grow to a certain place and we get content, and then we stop coming. We stop growing. We start judging people who are not where we are. But Jesus wasn't content to just be strong, to just be where he was. He said, I got to be everything that my Father needs me to be, because when I fulfill my destiny, when I go to that cross at 33 years old, I don't need to have a 12-year-old's maturity. He went back and was obedient, and then he increased in wisdom and stature and the favor of God and men. Wisdom always comes before stature, and the favor of God always precedes the favor of man. And we as believers, if we're not about the Father's business, you're gonna seek to increase your stature, get promoted in the eyes of men, to get their favor. Without realizing that comes. But what you should be after is wisdom and the favor of God. And Jesus increased in wisdom and the favor of God, so he also increased in his stature. That means he grew physically in the eyes of people. You know that when people in Jerusalem are talking about Joseph's boy in Nazareth, when they were miles away, that means in those days, that means you were probably pretty well renowned. But while you're right here, before you ever reach your destiny, before you ever possess the things that God has for you, you have to start here in a place of decision and go, you know what? I'm making a decision for me today. I'm going to make it. You know, he was 12, not 13. He wasn't even adult. He didn't even have to make this decision yet about business. But he said, right now, I'm going to make a decision. I'm not going to wait till I have to. I'm going to do it because I want to. I choose today to be about my Father's business. It's not personal, it's business. It hurts, but it's business. It's tough decisions to make, but it's business. Everybody stand up with me. Look to the person on both sides of you and say, it's not personal, it's business. Come on, look at each other, say it. It's not personal, it's business. This ain't got nothing to do with you, and it got nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus. There are some of you, maybe all of us in this room, and you're in this tug of war with personal things, with the opinions of your family, the opinions of your friends, the opinions of people around you, the opinions of coworkers, and they define who you are, and God's calling you out of it and saying, let me define who you are. Because your friends will define you, but you can only receive what you perceive, right? What you can see is all that you can get, right? And your friends only see you in a limited way. They can only define you in a limited way. So you'll only live up to a limited capacity as long as you just listen to limited opinions. But God's opinion, unlike man's opinion, is not limited. It's not incomplete. It's not immature. It is unlimited. And as long as you listen to his opinion and you start to get his unlimited perception, you'll start to live at an unlimited capacity. And things may not always make sense, but what a ride it'll be. But Jesus, at 30 years old, healing the sick, healing, doing all these things, accomplishing all the things that he saw in his mind, and had prophesied about him 30, 10 years before. Started when he was 12 years old. When he said, you know what? I choose to be Yahweh's boy and not Joseph's boy. It's not personal. It's business. Amen? Amen. If you're here and you say, you know what? Today, I'm going to make a decision. Today, I choose to be about my Father's business. I'm going to put personal things aside. Personal feelings. I'm going to stop worrying about whose feelings I'm hurting because I'm following God. And I'm just going to go full out today. If that's you, I just want you to raise both your hands like you're offering yourself up. Just lift up both hands. Father, this morning, thank you so much that your presence is always here. And Father, we put aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us, the relationships, the mindsets, the lifestyle. We put it aside so that we can run the race set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, taking on its shame. We will run. We're going to be about your business. I'm going to stop letting personal things get in the way of my ability to trust in you and to follow you. Father, I pray that we would commit to this and that this week, as you begin to call on us to begin to walk out the decision we're making this morning, that we will have the conviction to do it. Be with us this week, Father. I pray that we would have a tremendous 4th of July. That as we come together as a family, as a God's House family, that it would be just a time of rejuvenation and rest in you. We love you, Jesus. You're so good. You're so awesome. I just love to talk about you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We love you. It's not personal, it's what? It's my daddy's business. Amen.